All right, thank you. We'll call this meeting to order. It is 12:12:12, 6:30 p.m., the Oceana Community Services District. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call?
We have a different format tonight because you guys need to be officially sworn in.
I jumped past it, didn't I? I was on autopilot.
And I reviewed everything with the county clerk's recorder's office. So what I would like to do, since Director White is on a two-year term, I'd like to swear her in individually, and then I'll swear the...
Why don't we go backwards then, from D to A, under Agenda Item 2, and we'll have Karen take the podium.
Right.
We'll just do it that way. Karen.
Just stand here.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to give you...
You're next.
Can't we all do...
So her right hand is raised. I state your name.
I, Karen M. White.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I will.
I will support, and defend the,
and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies,
foreign and domestic.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
To the United States and the Constitution of California.
And I take this obligation freely.
And I take this obligation freely. Freely,
without any mental reservations.
Without any mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose.
Defend the Constitution of the United States and the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign, domestic, local.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. I will bear true allegiance.
I will bear true allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the State of California. In the county of San Luis Obispo.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservations.
Without any mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or a purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And I will well and
faithfully discharge.
Discharge the
duties upon which I am about to enter.
Which I'm about to enter again.
All right. Thelma L. Hurdle.
We're going to test Tom when it's all done.
Watch Thelma just whip right through it.
Tom's going to have this memorized pretty quickly here.
Yeah, Tom.
Well, if I don't,
you
should have
gave us the paper.
Somebody will tell you.
Yeah, I can't. I state your name.
I, Thelma Hurdle.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution.
That I will solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And that I will bear true faith.
And I will bear true faith
and allegiance,
to the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely
without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation
or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Discharge
the duties.
The duties
upon which I'm about to enter.
The duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Thank you. Congratulations. Okay. I keep waiting for somebody to go. I state your name. Just like in the movies. I
Matthew Guerrero.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Well and faithfully.
Well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter. All right.
Now a roll call.
Now we'll have a roll call vote. Carol Ann, thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Oh, I thought Carol Ann got choked up in the moment.
Okay. President Guerrero?
Present.
Director Hurdle? Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Present.
Director Angelo?
Here.
All right, everybody is accounted for. Moving on, item number four, the flag salute. Join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number five, the agenda review. Are there any items that would be pulled or moved on this agenda review? Does anybody have any comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I so approve the agenda.
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number six, public comment. Tom, do you have any speaker slips?
I don't have any speaker slips, so I'm sure somebody will speak.
I see Ms. Tacker standing up. Good evening.
Good evening. I have a first quarter report for 2012-2013, and we're well into the second quarter of the year. We haven't seen a reconciliation of your books related to the $560,000 that you received in FEMA reimbursements. That amount of money needs to be put back where it came from. And I don't know where it came from. It came out in 2006, 2005, and it came out of some accounts for repairs related to the earthquake. And so how much from which account and what repairs were done, and then how does that money get back to those funds in order for you to spend them into the future. I'll wait till the next segment for public comments to speak to items on the agenda, but that was, a very important concern. You're approaching $100,000 in these past audits, and I don't believe the district expected to spend that kind of money. There was never a projection of that kind of investment to get up to speed. Excuse me. And you did hire Mr. Gieslin with his financial background to get those audits done, and I don't believe he's done them. He's farmed it out, and without your consent. You're just approving warrants. You haven't seen contracts or changes in scopes of work with those consultants. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tackers. Any other public comment? Ms. Peterson. Good evening and congratulations.
Thank you very much, and that's why I'm here. I wanted to say congratulations to all of you. I went along to the Arroyo Grande and the Pismo installations of new council members, and I thought, well, what about Oceano? You guys are my neighbors, too. So I decided I wanted to come say that we are neighbors. We share a beach. We share dunes. Well, we try to share them. We don't always share.
those are Oceano's dunes.
We're the gateway. At any rate, I did want to say congratulations, let you know that we want to be friendly sister cities. We want to work together with you. And again, congratulations tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson.
We look forward to working with you.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. As your board knows, one of your most important issues you'll be facing in the coming months and years is how you're going to use your water. In fact, as you know, you have a surplus of water that is available for development. And much of that water is in the form of your groundwater. And I'd like to kind of explore a case study, if you will, with a project that is winding its way through the city of Pismo Beach. And as some of you may know, the Price Canyon or Spanish Springs project has gone through the Planning Commission review and I think is before the City Council now. Ultimately, it's an annexation that would go before LAFCO. But that project consists of literally hundreds of single-family homes, apartments, several hundred senior housing units, hotel facility, and I would submit to your board that that's just the kind of development you need in Oceano. And that's just the kind of development that your water could fuel. And it's an enormous revenue source for this district, and quite honestly, it's probably, well, it is your single largest asset, and I think it really has the potential to make this district go. So I guess what I'm saying is really that's Oceano's development. And I would encourage you to take a closer look not only at the project, that is the Spanish Springs project, and how that's winding its way through the review process, but also look at your own assets. It's my view that you're not going to be able to optimally use your water with infill projects on various lots around town. So it's going to take a little larger, more global view of things and perhaps looking at the airport land, and that's 60 acres, to really accommodate some of these kinds of uses. It can go in Price Canyon or it can go here. It's really up to your board. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Doug Grosshart. Just want to reintroduce myself to you. I did quite a bit of district engineering work for you over the last 4 years or so, and I left my previous firm that I worked for. But I was able to take a tour of the water yard with General Manager Geeslin and Utility Officer Aaron Hughes, and I was looking at the West Gang. So you're well on your way to really good things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grosher. Is there any other public comments? All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on to item number 7, special presentations, accommodations, none. Item number 8, the consent agenda. We have two items, review and approval of minutes from November 28th and the cash disbursements. Is there any board comments on that? Is there a motion?
I move we accept the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. I think Director Hurdle was there first.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 9, A, Sheriff South Station, Commander Jim Taylor. I think he's got some news for us today, doesn't he?
Thank you. Good evening. Since November 12th, so roughly the last 30 days, we've had 355 calls for service in Oceano. Of those calls, there were 8 reported thefts, 5 reported burglaries, 4 reported vandalisms, and 2 reported assaults, and a total of 36 disturbance calls that ranged from loud music to family fights to, you know, intoxicated subjects causing problems. 2 of the 5 burglaries occurred to the same residence in the 2700 block of Cienega. The first occurred on November 15th and the second on December 19th. In both cases, the suspects entered this residence. They stole firearms that were inside the house. Mm-hmm. They were in the house and they were unsecured. We're working on this case. There's some leads that we're following, but I wanted to kind of take the opportunity to to let the public know that California law requires that firearms be secured with a locking device or in a locked safe if there's any possibility that children could get access to them. And although that sounds like a good idea, a lot of folks don't do that because they don't have children in the house. But the burglary to this gentleman's residence, I think, illustrates the importance that if you have firearms or really any valuables, it's probably a good idea to purchase a safe, have it installed, and then use it to secure these items so that they don't wind up in the wrong hands. The final thing that I wanted to report was that this morning the San Luis Obispo County jury found Armando Yepez, a Los Angeles 18th Street gang member who had been relocated to Napomo. The jury found him guilty of the murder of Gabriel Salgado, which had occurred here in Oceano on November 17th of last year. While the verdict cannot make up for the loss of their son, those of us at the sheriff's office hope that the verdict will at least bring closure to the family as they deal with the grief and with this loss, and then we hope the very best for them and hope that they can move on. Mr. Yepez will be sentenced. There's not been a date set, but he will be sentenced probably after the first of the year in the Superior Court. And that completes the report.
Thank you, Commander Taylor. I think our thoughts and prayers go out to that family and hopefully the whole community. Tragic, senseless crime.
I'd like to say thank you also, Commander, for such an excellent job. The department acted swiftly and followed the lead and brought this person into custody, and you are to be commended.
Well, it was a difficult investigation, and for a whole lot of reasons that I won't go into. It was very difficult. It was very labor-intensive. You know, the 20, going on 27 years that I've been at the sheriff's office, you know, we haven't always done everything picture perfect. But the one thing I can look at over the entire time that I've worked there that was always taken seriously, the one crime that was always investigated, there was always a full court press, was homicides.
Mm-hmm.
We have some unsolved, but we have many more that are solved, and it's because there's never been any holdback from any of the sheriffs that I've worked for, and I'm on my fourth sheriff. They were always... You know, that was job one, was to make sure that they were solved and that answers were there for the family and that these things were dealt with appropriately. And although it took some time to get Mr. Yepez into custody, there was never a day from the moment that Gabriel was murdered, there was never a day that there were not half a dozen detectives working on that case. So, you know, this is very gratifying for the detectives on this case to see this outcome.
Well, from a community standpoint, your persistence didn't go unnoticed. You know, I know that it was a discussion in my neighborhood that how persistent you were, and you were patient and methodical in doing this, and it was tricky.
Right.
And we can't thank you enough.
Thanks.
Thank you, Commander Taylor.
Commander Taylor, before you leave, could you elaborate on what Sheriff Parkinson's plan is for next month with Oceano, similar to what we did last night?
I'm sorry?
Similar to what we did last night.
Well, the town hall?
Right, yeah.
Excuse me. Well, the sheriff's been holding town hall meetings throughout the county. There was a town hall meeting last night in Napomo. Essentially, he's midway through his term of office. He has a four-year term. And so he's been having the town hall meetings basically as a way to present to the members of the public kind of where we are at the halfway point. You know, he made certain campaign promises, and he's basically following up to let people know, you know, these promises were kept, these things have been achieved. One of the things that he talked about last night, and it was mentioned during the Napomo CSD meeting, President Harrison had attended the meeting last night and commented on the sheriff's efforts to move as many plainclothes deputies, for example, our civil enforcement.
They're just trying to firm everything up, so... And we'll publicize it on the website and announce it and try and put it at the locations throughout town, the school and a couple of the restaurants, so that we get a nice crowd.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
I don't see Chief Arenas here this evening. OCSD Operations 9C. Tom.
The past 2 weeks has been getting caught up on all the calendar year activities that we need to get through. And as I told you at the start of the fiscal year that we are going to focus on the water distribution and sewer, and that has taken up a majority of my time because it's hands-on time, and coordinating vendors, coordinating build out per the engineering that was done, and following through on that. So that's been the bulk of my time. The question about the audit came up. That's on track. I explained to you before that we had to set up a duplicate set of books because of the issues with the Tyler system that was put in place before I arrived here. And we are transferring stuff to the auditors as we speak. You need to remember that when we do an audit, we did go out for quotes. We have firm contracts in place. And when we have things that pop up with that require additional explanation or additional research, that their time is their money, and so that comes into play. But we have not exceeded what it was originally quoted to. The other thing that we're in the process now is all our insurance reviews are due, and I spent some significant time on the insurance reviews. And with the basically firing up of our Parks and Rec powers, we have additional quotes that we have to secure. And so we're in the process of trying to put all that together as well. The end-of-year payroll, we audit all our payroll and make internally audit. We don't send it out to somebody else, but we internally audit our own payroll to make sure that we're in compliance. And if you follow the news with the Obamacare thing that passed, everybody got hit with a hidden fee, so we're chasing that down as well. And it looks like it's going to be around $60 on each employee, but I got to verify what our set parameters are in that. The other thing is that our accounting group that is doing the audits, they also are responsible for doing physical inventories audits for their clientele as well. And so when we miss a mark because of the Tyler thing, we fell out of the queue. Now we're back in the queue. So, because they had to go, they have clients all over California and other states. I want to remind you that we're a staff of seven, and we've had some people miss work for various reasons. You know, one of our employees, her husband, got involved in a hit and run, and it's a happy story. He's around to talk about it, but there's significant rehab, and the rehab that they do, they have to drop what they're doing and go to UCLA when the doctors play with it. So we've been backfilling everybody. Some days you'll walk in the office, there'll be a USO guy working the desk. We haven't had to put any of the office people out in the field yet, but there's going to come a time when that's going to take place. And then you know all the efforts that we put in on the storm watch. And I attended the county storm watch this afternoon. It was a two-hour review of the standard operating procedures. And as I was telling Director Hurdle, some of the things that they're requiring are a little different than what we have going with Five Cities Fire and our member agencies, Grover Beach and Roy Grandy. So there's a little sync up that has to be taken with that. But I'd say from what we did 2 weeks ago and what I attended today, the attention is clearly on Oceano, and there's uniform buy-in by everybody. And I said this today, I was actually a little bit disappointed that we didn't get a little more rain so we could have tested under live circumstances what we had going. So that's basically where we're at. And then the last thing is, and I'll talk about it later in the agenda, was there's been questions about the Santa Maria groundwater lawsuit, and that originally started in 2000 well.
Working as well, and I'm, you know, I understand the need for it, and it makes sense. I also talked to Shane over from AG about it, and he was absolutely 100% in support, saying that, yeah, you guys need it. And,
yeah, we do.
Make it happen.
We do.
And so it was encouraging.
Just, I want to secure financing because I don't want to burn cash. And we're putting the packages together.
Board of Directors, outside committees, Director Angelo?
I went to RAC with Mary, and Tom was there as well. So we kind of found out that we were kind of on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to funding for the round of money that they were bringing forward for this time around. For the name of it. Anyway, sat through, you know, a lot of discussion on it, kind of went round in a circle. But the bottom line is that we're going to have to wait before we get anything done in South County. Pretty much everything went to North, and they also are trying to include, I believe, Shandon in the mix as well. So a lot of the items that were up for debate with ours were approved in almost all South County. There was nothing approved.
Great. Can I tack on?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, because
I think it's really important that we're at RAC. There's absolutely no question in my mind. It is a political animal, if I can put it lightly. And it's multi-tiered in its who's running the show. And it was so clear to me when I saw the spread of the funding and the amount of funding that body controls was, I didn't realize that they were just slinging around $7.5 million in one round of funding, and all of that money, what was allocated, it wasn't entirely allocated, going to the North County. But what really bothered me was the process. And I asked the question, who reviews the proposals? And when I was told that stakeholders are reviewing the proposals to fund their own areas, you know, that sends alarms in my head. Now, whether it's, I'm sure they've manipulated things so it appears to be legal, but it's very ethically questionable. And so the representatives from the North County, and I'm sure it's happened, you know, in the South County as well, you know, where the majority of funding goes to the South County, and it's reviewed by stakeholders. And so I'm going to look at the policies this year on RAC, because there's something fundamentally wrong there. You can't allocate that much money and not one penny, you know, hit 50 miles in South. Not one penny came past San Miguel. So
it's funny you said that, because today I was sitting going through the stuff online trying to find how they come up with the people that they select for the boards and stuff, and it seems like quite an ordeal, because they had to go clear back to when they first started the whole thing. So I'm working my way through that, because I had the same thought. It seems like it's the same people all the time, and
yeah,
I just wasn't sure how this all started and how it came down the way it has.
It left me really
bad
taste.
More educated with it,
because I know that they're shovel ready, if that's the term they want to use, probably in every certain single jurisdiction in this county. You know, so not even Los Osos got anything, and all those poor people. You know, I want to bring that up, but you know, so. It just, you know, and then when I asked the question, they looked at me, well, we awarded the awards, you know, almost prideful, like, you know, we gave it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm sure I'll get some of those comments, but I'm just keeping up.
That's okay. We'll get it figured out.
Anything else, Lori?
No, I think that's the end.
All right. Director Hurdle?
Yes, yesterday I attended a meeting sponsored by the Five Cities Fire Authority concerning the grant that we have obtained for federal emergency management training It's going to take place in April in Maryland, the FEMA headquarters. Two of the senior specialists in training came out and gave a very nice presentation on what to expect with this training. It sounds extremely exciting. It's emergency preparedness. And
they were found unsatisfactory in the handling of biosolids because it was being placed outside of the permit, not on a concrete pad. It was being placed on some open dirt. Since then, we've received some information from Mr. Wallace that it's a two-foot red rock lining, a red clay lining, that's been placed. And at the meeting last week, they advised that Bob Barlogio did some testing upstream and downstream, and they found no increase in nitrates. However, it does cause some concern. Obviously, you want to see the plant operate within its permits, operate appropriately. So I'm sure that that'll be something that's brought back. We just received the report. There's an adoption of a local hazard mitigation plan. That's been something that's ongoing. Tony Ferrara had put a lot of hours into it. It's with Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, South Sanitation Plant. There was an update on the preparations for the 2012-2013 storm season. Mr. Wallace advised that the plant operated well, and then also advised that there was some sort of electrical problem at the plant. I understand that they had to fire up the generators to keep it running, as my understanding. Unfortunately, Attorney Rodriguez was there. And then there was a discussion for alternatives for district service billing charges. There's really nothing to report yet out of that, because John Wallace was directed to meet with the city managers and Mr. Gieselin to come to a uniform agreement. And so we'll wait and hear on that.
I have an update to that.
You want to update that?
Yeah, City Manager AG Grover Beach and John Wallace, along with the finance people for those two agencies, we all met in Grover Beach and had a very interesting and lively discussion. And it was agreed that myself and the two finance managers would go back and calculate to the same formula. So we had a meeting on Monday to calculate the same formula. And we're generating those numbers now. And the funny thing is, no matter how you look at it, we're all very, very close. And Mr. Wallace would like to keep everything as the status quo and wait 6 months, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. So we were going to calculate our numbers, and then we're all going to bill for that amount for this year. So
these rates were set in 1986?
Well, for us it was 1986. For Grover Beach it was like 1996. And Roy Grandy, it goes back a ways too. So.
Okay. Well, keep us informed. Mm-hmm.
Do we know if the board's going to change for the sand district?
Yes. Mayor Peterson is going to take Bill Nichols' seat. And I don't know whether or not 24-hour will remain on board. And then Okay. Tonight we'll tell what we do.
All right. Now, I want to ask you on your report. My understanding is that Mr. Nichols had asked, he was somewhat concerned about the pumps running for so long, 30 hours.
Oh, the generator.
The generator running for 30 hours. And I was, and it was, he presented it as they were using it as a test. Mm-hmm. Then my understanding is that the electrical box that was supposed to be fixed, that they got fined for not having fixed, was full of water. The damn thing shorted out again, and that generator had to be open. It wasn't like we're going to see if the generator will run on and off.
The generator did have to be on because the pump shut down, is my understanding. I cannot say that it was the same electrical position. Do you know, Tom, was it the same electrical?
We didn't get the details on if it was the exact same, but in that circuitry for that generator to have to be going on, something in the same area needed to be. But they got an electrician on right away. And I don't know how long their generator was running, but when we were making rounds during the rain events that generator was running.
You know, and also, too, is that... Is it,
but all that stuff is logged, so if we
it's
want...
It's not logged, though. It's not... They don't keep minutes.
No, they have to keep logs because they're required by the...
Well, they might keep logs, you know, as far as, you know, running the equipment, but the way it's presented, it's not reflective in the minutes that we had to run this generator because we had an electrical deficiency. Understandable. It was presented that, well, we're running it as a test to make sure, you know, that our equipment's up to speed and da-da-da-da. And as the Director Nichols says, you know, 30 hours, he said, you know, is it going to be okay? Oh, yeah.
I think what happened was Mr. Wallace advised that there had been a problem and that they had the generator running. And then it's a side issue because the permit, there was a mention that the permit allowed for 30 hours of...
There's something wrong.
What is the justification for no minutes? How can you get by with
no accountability? The public, you know, they don't have ATP. No. You know, who's going to call them on the minute? And when you send for information or stuff, they're just off the desk and in the trash. So, you know, at what point are people going to stand up and say, this is not how I, you know, chose to spend my money? So I'm really glad to hear there's going to be a change in the...
Well, there are minutes, whether or not they retain everything that you appreciate. That's a different discussion, but there are minutes.
Do they send you minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So why won't they give the public minutes?
They
can't even get an agenda when you go to that meeting.
They should be on the website. I mean, with no ifs, ands, or buts, they should be on the website.
So I'm going to go back to the website.
We have a book. We have a book in our lobby that they put their agendas and their minutes in the lobby when they post their agendas.
And that's the one I looked at, and I go, that's not how this was presented. I sat in that darn meeting. That they probably got the flu from somebody in that meeting.
So with respect to their generators and any equipment that they run over there, they have to log it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like we have to log ours, and
right.
There's people that come out and inspect on a regular basis, and you have to identify if it was test time or it was actual in-service time that you,
right.
you ran.
So, and those are all reported to the APCD.
APCD, and they come out and then they maintain by looking to make sure that we're all compliant with the diesel requirements as well.
Director Lucy?
Report. No, I've reported on the bathroom.
Director White, and Director Lucy was at the meeting last week. Director White?
The meeting of Zone 3 Tech took a Christmas vacation, so did I. I have nothing.
All right, thank you. Moving on to item number 10, public comment limited to specific agenda items. Is there any public comment? I see Mr. Edwards standing up. Good evening again.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards. I wanted to have 1 minute on number 10 and then reserve two for number 18, if I may. And real quickly, what I wanted to speak about was the storm preparedness that we've heard about from your general manager, and we also heard at the Sand District last week. And I have to question this. Basically, the only thing that you have is a notice how to evacuate. As a practical matter, there have been no on-the-ground improvements. And for your GM to suggest otherwise, really, he's just kind of a cheerleader for the Public Works Department. So I would say that. And then also, it was unclear. The Sand District went to closed session on John Wallace's contract, but it was not reported out. Was any decision made? That's a question. And then I would urge your board to go into closed session as soon as possible to discuss the options for dealing with the $1.1 million administrative civil liability.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment, Ms. Packer?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker. I am on the record as opposing the format of your meetings and the way you take public comment. First, I'd like to just speak briefly to some of the director's statements. The audio for the San Luis South SSLOCSD is available through the public records request. They'll send you an MP3 over your internet if you want one in your email box. So just ask for it. Mr. Geeslin said that you are firing up your Parks and Rec department. I'd like to know more about how you do that, and with what funding source are you doing that? How much funds are anticipated to be expended? He also spoke about drainage, and I don't know that drainage is in your powers, so how are you being reimbursed or funded for the work that you do, whether it's even the administrative work of ordering sandbags? I'd just like to know how that works. With regard to items 11A through F, the election of the president and vice president, I would like to see Mr. Guerrero remain the president. I think you have some hot legal issues, certainly at the Sand District in the next year, and with his bright mind, I think that would serve your district best. 11B, you have a discussion or update on the request for proposal for a district engineer. There's no staff report. There's no way to follow along for the public to have any idea what you're going to speak about. And I think that's very disingenuous. What I have a concern about is this interim time that you don't have a district engineer and for a consent item. And the special meeting for December 28th, each meeting comes at a great cost to the district. And if all you have are warrants to pass, it doesn't make sense to invest that kind of money. And thank you for the extra time.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there any other public comment? I saw another gentleman. Good evening, sir.
Well, my name is John Snyder. I'm not used to this unusual format. You could go to some other meetings where you actually talk when the item comes up. I'd like to talk about, I think it's 11C, the litigation, which is hard to do before the presentation. But I have sent you a copy of the links, which are at the top of this document. This was the back pages are what I presented to the RAC. It may have precipitated this item. I wanted to be really clear about what I was saying. The judgment says that the northern cities were awarded 7,300 acre feet, but it didn't really specify what those were. And after going up, I've been out to all the court hearings and whatnot, after going to the appellate court, the landowners down in Santa Maria said, well, that's not clear whether that means you get to pump 7,300 acre feet of groundwater or not. And the upper court clarified that by saying, certainly, that 7,300-foot number includes 5,300 acre-feet of Lopez water and 1,200 acre-feet of state water. And so there's only 900 acre-feet of groundwater in the award that's special. And then I also tried to lay out a chart on the front of essentially the court designated some water special, like salvage percolation ponds, return flows, state project return flows, Twitchell water, and some other water, and then it ordered the lower court to modify the judgment to specify that any water other than that, the overlying landowners had the prior right, the superior right to that, and then the appropriate right. So if there's a shortage, essentially the appropriate rights get diminished first, and then the overlying rights, and then you have kind of that special water. And then if you're not satisfied with that, you can turn to your settlement and ask somebody who signed the settlement to give up something if it allows that in order to get water. So the one thing that precipitated me to do this was in the county water master plan, somebody was trying to put in that you had 7,300 acre feet of groundwater rights, and then you had 1,200 of state water and 5,300 of Lopez water, and put them in a chart like you could add them all up to one large number, but that's not how it works. There was not an allocation, it's a priority. And the other thing that happened was the appellate court decided that the Twitchell water, even though the settlement was 32,000 acre feet, which isn't a realistic number, the actual amount is more like 12,000, that the court rule of law overrides the settlement. And so that's something that people were saying, oh, you could just look at the settlement and see what your fate would be. But you have to really look at what you are legally entitled to first, and then look at the settlement to see how it's modified And I object kind of your format. I'd been much better if I had heard the presentation and was allowed to talk right after. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Okay, we'll move on to item number 11A, election 2012 president and vice president. I don't think there's a staff report on this, and so I have a form here. I guess we'll just start with the president. Are there any nominations for president? I'd like to say thank you to everybody for this last year, by the way. Are there any nominations for president? I'd accept. Are there any other nominations?
I move to cast the unanimous ballot and elect Matt Guerrero as board chairman or president again. I'm sure that's not worded correctly, but I could try again.
Second. If there's no other nominations, I'll have a roll call vote.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you to everybody.
No, thank you.
Miss Lucy just said good luck, so hopefully.
It's
going to
be a good year.
We then also have vice president. I'll accept nominations for vice president.
I'd like to nominate Mary Lucy.
I have a nomination for Mary Lucy. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a nomination and a second. And are there any other nominations for
the holidays have been kind of chaotic, and everybody's got their plates full. Chase is actually in court now, and so I. That's your personal business.
Microphone.
Your wife and you are arguing tomorrow?
No. We're arguing the case tomorrow, so thankfully this will obviously will be over soon.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
So I've talked to the general manager several times, and Tom, I'd like you to weigh in on this, just so we hear it from him. My job was to kind of put together a timeline. Unfortunately, I got hit with the flu, so I just did a quick draft. I gave her.
Are there any for the public?
There probably is. Yeah.
I could share one with Director Hurdle.
Yeah, and Tom has it. And Tom, maybe you can speak a little bit more about the just reassuring people that it's the way that you've organized it for right now is within our boundaries. We're doing exactly what we should do as providers of services. So can you...
Sure.
I think Ms. Tacker would like a copy of that.
And you have to remember that this is I really truly mean it. It's a draft. And if it's taken out of context or anything like that, I'm gonna be quite annoyed because that's the word draft at the top. So with that said.
Okay, that being said, I didn't get this until late this afternoon, and that's why I wasn't in the board pack, and because district council was tied up in court for the last 4 days, I hadn't had a chance to review it with him at all. But we are getting a lot of inquiries from the engineering community, and I have started receiving information on these firms. Some of them, like Mr. Grosshart, Mr. Garza from Cannon, have attended the meetings and we're putting everything together. But any action other than this is a proposed timeline, I think, would be premature at this time.
Yeah, and I left dates out and just moved it to the years. But it's mainly more of a rough draft process on how we're going to go about this. You know, so... So there's many different ways you can receive bids, you know, and so I kind of looked it up to see if when I administered block grant funds
they were for human services, so it could very well have been different. These are for engineer services. You know, the one thing that that I've noticed is since having Cal Poly right here, we are so saturated with engineers. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm truly so hopefully we'll get, once we get the process formalized and legal counsel has a chance to, you know, put some time towards that, we'll get some really good bids in for this and some good people that staff can work with. So that's for your eyes.
Are we open for comments? I'm just, I have a couple of questions on this one. One of them is proposals being evaluated by a peer review process. Do we want to do that? Are we set up for that?
Multiple definitions of peer.
Okay. What was your thinking on that?
Gender. No. You know, when you do an external review, you know, and it can be peer reviewed too. You know, of course you're going to have somebody with some engineering experience reviewing proposals. You know, of course you're going to have somebody who's in the field that works with engineers that deal with water and sewer. So I really kind of thought in outside the box is not just a board of engineers, people that work with engineers or peers, you know, whether they're running a site, you know, general managers or peers of engineers, you know. So I figured that the bids, the proposals have to match Oceano and the needs of Oceano. So whoever submits has to know where we are and where we're going and have a plan on how we're going to get there. You know, and we have enough experts and hopefully enough experienced people who know how to do that. So that's what I meant. They bring their recommendations to the board. The board hears what the bidders have to say and they move forward. You know, I did learn that in the past I've had to do an appeal process, and so I was worried about, you know, there's process appeal and outcome appeals, right? And I was like, oh God, you know, I'm not doing this. But then I learned that we don't have to do that because we're not dealing with human services. So, you know, trust me, I did do it all. You know, so no, this is really very generic and very broad, and not a lot of depth. You know, if you want me to sit down and write the guidelines for the review panel, that's different. But I'm hoping that will be in the proposals. I put down that they need to submit 5 proposals, and what I envision is when the proposals come in, right, is that we can receive this timestamp. Because look, if they do Friday at 5, it doesn't mean 1:05. Because what that does is it sends a message that you can't hit a deadline. So if we give people enough time to prepare their proposals, right, we won't have late, you know, submissions. You know, so they come to the counter, they get a generic receipt, it's time stamped, and we're all good to go.
Here's my thought about proposals. Is we're not putting out, when we put out for district engineer, we're not putting out for a specific project. We're not building a bridge or a drainage ditch on 13th Street or something like that. What we're saying is we're going to have needs to replace infrastructure. We already have those needs. To replace infrastructure, do drainage, you know, engineering of the yard, and these sorts of things. And so since we're not putting out an RFP to build a specific project, and, you know.
Then maybe it should be an RFQ, request for qualifications. You could do that too.
That's what
we
I'm
are asking for the proposals.
Because you know, unless you're Doug Brochard, who happens to be here, you really don't know. You might not know walking in what needs to be done.
Well, then maybe we shouldn't even want to submit it. Because if I'm going to submit to something, right, there isn't nothing I'm not going to know about that entity. I will have it on their website. I will let them know everything that has been in place, how long it's been in place, or when it needs to be replaced. I will have done my homework. You know, so it's a way of weeding out those overrepresented fields and pulling the good ones out that do their homework. Mm-hmm. You know, so they know where our hot spots are in this town. They know what our specific plan says. They don't walk in and go, do you have a water yard? No, you should know that. You know, so I don't think it's going to be a big mystery. You know, because, you know, there's so many. I was just like, oh, wait. And then I figured it out of the college. So, but anyway, it's just a draft. Okay. It's just a jumping off point.
Thoughts, Tom?
Yeah.
Can I? Do you want to share any of them with us?
It's a work in process.
Sure.
Council hasn't even seen it until
right.
Seconds ago.
And I'm looking at it too.
I saw
it
this afternoon. It's a work in process. It's just showing right. We're working on it.
Yeah. So all it is a draft, a jumping off point.
Okay. Well, I guess the direction to Ms. Lucy and to you guys, we keep working on it. Right. Hopefully Chase will be done with his trial with a good result.
Yeah.
And
it can be flushed. The minute we have the RFP, it's everything falls into place.
Okay.
Do we have an estimated time that we want to target to get this started?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to let staff answer that.
There's three people you, as a board, hire: the general manager, the attorney, and the engineer. And right now, I want us to go through every single possible step to get the right person for this community. Mm-hmm. We have no pending engineering items open other than an occasional will serve, and with all the activity that we've had, the Avocado Ranch is getting ready to build their final phase, but that's all been pre-engineered and ready to go. We have two that are, one of them is not even close to being shovel ready, and the other one is a fire interpretation issue, and the rest, everything's all set, either by Mr. Tanaka or Mr. Grosshart in the past. So with the scrutiny that this board and the staff gets, I just want to make sure that everything is done properly and by the book. And the audience, I'm going to pass forward my brief that I finished this afternoon. I've been working with Henry Weinstock on this for the better part of a week, and mainly him trying to educate me on 10 years of legal battles. And I'm clearly going to take a position that's different than Mr. Schneider. And what Mr. Schneider needs to let you guys also know is that I believe you're one of the LOG members, correct? One of the people suing? Okay. But, yeah, he's one of the people that are still suing. And so he's going to have his position, and we're going to have our position, and we pay Mr. Weinstock to represent us on this, and Mr. Weinstock is very adamant on our position. So I'm going to take you through it step by step. It's going to be contrary to what Mr. Schneider presented, and actually this is kind of weird for me because this is the first time Mr. Schneider and I have ever been on opposing sides on anything, so it's a little bit bizarre, but that's okay. And we've had discussion during the week, and so this is the point. So this originally started back in the year 2000, and we entered into what then was called a gentleman's agreement with Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Roy Grandy, and us to basically keep us in a almost out of the Santa Maria Ground Valley or groundwater lawsuit. And we did that to circumvent it. And this all predates me, and I'm sure it predates most of you as well. So when the fight was on, we had already had an agreement amongst ourselves, and it also included the farmers of the Arroyo Grande Valley in Pismo, and there's not too much farming in Grover Beach, but in Oceano. So it included them, and we basically had a set of water rights established then. And the Northern Cities Management Group, there was 9,000 to 10,000 acre feet of water in question, of which 43% went to the NCMA and 57% went to the farmers, going back to 2002. When the Santa Maria groundwater lawsuit hit, the parties submitted that as part of their argument, which is what Mr. Weinstock submitted, and this is what we have been managing our water management for the NCMA since that time. The recent there was the agreement in 2008, and then the there was people appealed the court stipulated agreement, and there was over 100 issues, and it came back that for NCMA we were covered on all of them but I believe one or two. Listed in there was these numbers that are listed in water rights number one, where it says 7,300 acre feet, and it calls out 6,400 acre feet of surface water and 900 acre feet of groundwater. And our attorney saying those numbers could be any number, because the key thing is that it has been proven in the court that none of these people that are outside our basin, in our area of management, have any rights to the water and therefore have no say. And because they have no, and that was clearly called out in the appeal, which I believe that they're going to take to a higher court. So we go by water rights number two, and that's what we exercise to, and that's what we function with, and that was first put forward in 2002. It was agreed upon in 2005, and then it was adjudicated in 2008. And in our attorney's position, all this was affirmed by the Court of Appeal in what was released in 11-21-12. So as it stands, Oceano has 900 acre feet of groundwater, AG has 1323, Grover Beach has 1407, and Pismo Beach has 700, and then our farmers have 5,740. So that totals 10,070 acre feet of groundwater that we are all eligible to pump at any given time. Now, there is a caveat to this, and that is, now I'm not a lawyer, but Mr. Weinstock said to make sure that we emphasize that point. The appellates, two groups of landowners who objected to the global settlement and the physical solution, prevailed on only one of over 100 grounds for their appeal. The appellate court instructed the trial court to modify the judgment slightly to declare the appellates, because they are landowners, have overlying rights, but only in unquantified amounts and do not have rights in the Northern Cities area where they own no land. So Mr. Snyder can put up any number he wants, but he doesn't have water rights here. How do we determine we don't have water rights? Well, we're a downhill flow. And so there is no way because our water, if everything comes downhill and we're pumping down here, they have no right, overlying right or any right to that water in any way, shape or form. And that's the strongest point of our argument. The appellates have to a few more weeks to decide, and that's what I first wrote this. And then they did apply. One group, the Weinman group, agreed with the appellate, but another group, which is called the Log group, is going to go forward, and they're trying to get some of the appellate decisions looked at. And we are in wait state until the court decides whether they are going to go forward. So I agree that it's very, very confusing. I was told one thing I once considered looking and listening to lawyers, that if you ever really wanted to see a rich lawyer, it was a water lawyer, because they clearly are making a lot of money on this. But I have no reason to doubt the advice and guidance that we've got from Mr. Weinstock, and I also, that was affirmed by Paul Hyatt and Conway as well. And we are going to continue to manage per Water Right 2 under these guidelines.
You ready for questions?
Go ahead.
I also read the court's findings. Thanks, Matt. I also read the court findings too, and I thought they were very flattering to the Northern Cities Management Group. But what I couldn't figure out is, you say that, you know, the allocation for our area, I still can't figure out if it's like 7,300 acre feet or if it's 10,000 with all the other added, but that's beside the point. My point being is that we have no way of monitoring our group. You know, for example, you know, Oceano has spent millions of dollars diversifying our water, bringing in different sources to be compliant, to a fault, almost compliant to a fault. And then when there was a threat of the groundwater being, you know, not so good, you know, they used salt water, but, you know, it was a bad test. We pulled back because we had diversified our water and cut back on our pumping. Okay, so we haven't pumped our ground. But there's nothing in it that says that each other has to honor the allocation of the other within the group.
That's not true. That's not accurate.
Okay.
We do
it's
monitor.
A question.
We do monitor. That's not accurate. We monitor and we report monthly. Everybody knows exactly what was pumped. Everybody knows
Let me go back for a minute, okay? I'm not saying you as a group don't know how much who pumped or what. I know that because I know there's meters, you know, and I know that we monitor what goes through those pipes, right? What I'm saying is that Oceana diversified. We have the most diverse water sources coming into this area than anybody in this county darn near. We pulled back from pumping because the threat of the groundwater area. But we don't, you know, and only our reports will say whether our neighbors pulled back, okay? And you could answer that much better than I could answer it. But say we went into a drought. Oceano has diversified. Say our neighbors do the same.
I can tell you the elevation of the wells. I can tell you everything.
Great. That's great, Tom. Right? But I'm thinking that what if Oceano doesn't pump their 900? Is it going to be there next year for us? Is it going to be there the year after? Is it going to be there the year after? Does it accumulate? You know, is it a use it or use it situation? You know, is it going to get to a point where we don't use it for 5 years, so therefore it's reallocated to areas that are more in need?
We don't have the ability to reallocate any groundwater to anybody. We have the ability to reallocate our state water and our Lopez water. And everybody is on Lopez, and everybody is, because of the ban of rainfall that we've had the last couple of years, I just
the lakes are 75% right now.
Yeah.
And we're all working off of surplus water.
Right. Right now.
And the key word here is Northern Cities Management. And we are managing it as a team. And there are specific guidelines that we have to follow.
Okay.
And the other thing that you need to take into consideration is that when this was originally developed in 2002 and 2005, the farming entities around here were significantly higher, but we've had a lot of farm ground convert to houses and other development. So we've been, the farmers have been giving back or giving up some of their allotment through urban conversion.
And then I just have one other question too, is that I couldn't find anything about expenditures, that what it's cost us. Is that just a wash for everybody?
Well, what this lawsuit has cost us?
Yeah.
I mean,
it cost Oceana millions, but...
I can get you a total of the next...
But I'm asking, is it a wash for us to absorb those costs, or did the court award anything for legal?
I can get, ask that question.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
I didn't look at this as a costing at all because, one, the majority of it predates me. And, you know, that's why we have a legal system, so that landowners, if they feel they're getting a raw deal, they can, you know, exercise it through. They have the ability to take this all the way to the state Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, if it's looked at as a ruling in our favor, and if so, who pays for Mr. Weinstock all these years for 10 years?
We split the cost with our neighbors.
So there's no award.
And Pismo opted out somewhere in the, I can't give you the exact date, but they opted out, and so they used a different law firm. But everything that I've seen, including what came through Paul High and Conway said, that this is a major win in our favor.
Oh, well, I've read it that way.
Are there any other questions, Director White, Hurdle?
No.
Angela? I think we'll receive and file these, attach them. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
That helped me understand a lot. I think we all still have questions, but we'll work our way through.
Mr. Weinstock has offered to, if we want to go farther with this, he will gladly do a conference call and he'll gladly take questions if you want to take it to the next level.
I don't.
Give me the direction.
I'm satisfied.
Yeah, I'm satisfied as well. Ladies? And I looked at the ruling. It was over 50 pages, and it's better than NyQuil. I'm trying to read that, so I gave up. Moving on to item 11. Are you on break? Okay, why don't we take it's 2 minutes to 8. Why don't we break till 8:05? Call this meeting back to order. Everyone is present. We're moving on to item 11D, 2013 CSDA board member training that meets AB 1234 ethics training requirement. Tom.
We talked about this at a previous meeting. We all need to go through this. And then I also included the catalog for other CSDA training. Director Hurdle's already given me one that she wants to attend. We do have money put aside for this, and I would like you to take advantage of this, mm-hmm. because the more we get everybody educated under CSDA guidelines, the more we needed that.
Any questions or concerns from the board regarding that? Karen shaking her head now. Mary?
Do you need a motion?
I'm just checking to see if we have any questions or concerns regarding changing that meeting the way it's set. Director Angelo?
No.
All right, so I think we'll just, while on a motion, we'll schedule it for December 28th at 6:30. December 28th is a Friday. Should we go early? Is there any opposition?
I'll work out the details on the time and everything.
Okay.
Because one thing that we are going to do is, along with AG and Grover, we are going to close the 26th, 27th, and 28th. The employees have been offered to use their vacation time or any comp time that they have on the books. But we'll still have because of USO coverage, we'll still have that. I'll be in and out. Marie will be in and out to go through anything that we have. But with quiet time, we'll be able to get most of the end-of-year stuff taken care of. So.
All right. Sounds really good. So I'll make a motion to cancel the December 26th Board of Directors meeting.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And then there will be a motion to have a special meeting on December 28th.
We'll tentatively call it for like 5 o'clock.
Okay. You can let us know. I'm wide open, I think. Moving on to item number 12, utility items, none. Item number 13, closed session items, none. Item number 14, board member comments. I'll start with Director White.
These are general comments?
Yeah, board member comments.
It was brought to my attention by a couple of our constituents that the Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo boards were in the Grover Beach Christmas Parade, and the Oceana Community Service District was not in the Oceana Christmas Parade. But with the Kiwanis, I was in the Christmas Parade, and it was raining. And
yeah,
I just wondered if there was any inspiration in the future for this district to be represented in any kind of parades or that kind of events. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I am interested one way or the other, but I thought somebody brought it up to my attention, and I thought I'd pass it on. Thank you.
I'd like to say, I love a parade.
I think we should nominate Tom to go with all the parades.
Can I tell you a funny story? let me tell you the
story. As long as it's funny, and I usually handle the humor.
This is actually a pretty funny story. Supervisor Teixeira and I, and along with a lot of businessmen, were very active in Rotary. And for years, the Rotary Clubs of the Central Coast have put on the Parade of Lights in Santa Maria. And we emcee it, Supervisor Teixeira does all the canned goods that go out to the setup. And if you've ever done a parade, it's a very difficult, tedious thing. And some people think it's easy. And when you're putting the marching bands and everything together, you want to make sure that you have certain things addressed. And one year, not us, but the Elks thought it'd be great to save time and put all the clowns together. And that turned out to be World War III, because apparently clowns like their own capture of the audience. And it is on film in the archives, but you can actually go to it on one of the Elks parades and you'll see the clowns. You probably wrote a story on it, Karen, where they went crazy on each other. So I let all that stuff go. I have a voice. I use my voice and MC them, but yeah, I'll make a note that any holiday parades or Harvest Festival parades you guys would like to participate on, we will go forward and try and make that happen.
The old fire truck was in the parade.
The one that right here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll have Tony and Aaron drag the jetter behind them with you.
Of course, now you have to be careful when you go to those things. You have to be in a certain proper state because it could show up in the Tribune. So.
What was that?
You have to be sober. Board member comments. Let's go to Vice President Lucy. Thanks, I lost track there.
I was at the parade and it was wet, but I did want to.
Microphone.
I did want to put a big thanks out to the Depot Association and Linda Guyton. I think that it was the Kiwanis I think the float that you were on won first place, didn't it?
Yes.
They got us all excited about a big storm, 2 to 4 inches. I went out and bought new rubber boots with little butterflies on them. You know, I was ready to go, right? And also, the district was more prepared than I have ever seen. And I have been through all the floods in the last 15 years, been right here, even brought my mother to a big one where the levee broke, flew her down from Washington so she could experience it. And the last time the island flooded, Lori and I were out there, you know, shuffling people to hotels. It was total chaos. There was a roll of bags on the front door, someone's front door. We weren't sure whose front door, you know, and that wasn't the case this time. The bags were filled, they were stacked, they were visible. The word was out. There wasn't anybody in town who didn't know where to get sandbags. And if they couldn't pick them up, you were to call the district and somebody would bring them to you. So, you know, I do want to applaud you, Mr. Gieslin, for that because, you know, and I can't speak to 76 floods and to 80, you know, floods, but I can speak to the last three we've had. And this one, I felt more confident than ever. And I know that Public Works did, they were visible, but I know a lot of work came out of this office, and I want to thank you for that. And you can go down to the 22nd Bridge and see those sandbags waiting there. And you can go right out here on 13th and see another pile of them waiting for you. So thank you.
Director Angelo.
Well, I don't really have anything to say except for I hope everybody has a nice holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Director Hurdle.
No, thank you.
I think that Mary Lucy didn't know the sacrifice that Tom made. He skipped the UCLA-Stanford game because of the...
Really?
Did you tape it?
No, I didn't go.
Oh,
because
oh,
of the, I was mad at the weather people as well.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this weekend?
We're not watching TV.
It's actually, if it rains January 1st, I'll be extremely upset.
Oh, good. I'll pray to the rain gods for you.
The Rose Bowl, so.
I'll cover for you on January 1st.
I'll cover for you.
Yeah. Director White and I will cover for you. Enjoy your game.
No, I'll cover it for you at the game.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm in here.
You know, I just want to say thank you, everybody. It's been a great year. We've done a lot of good stuff is happening on the ground in the office. And yep. So... Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
Yeah.
I'm really encouraged. We've come a long way, and the district is coming a long way, and I think we've got a lot of big things that are happening. I appreciate Tom's support that I've been able to get when I have issues and questions, and not just here, but the Sand District or wherever else I can. I got a good ear and usually some pretty sage advice that comes with it. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Number 15, received written communications. Fish and Game filing fees increase. I saw that letter in there.
Board of Supes had a meeting on an agenda item. They put up all their fees. And so this is the one that they sent down to us. So it's just general information that starting in January, the fees are going to go up.
So I don't get my...
Our fees are going up, too, for our will serves. And, you know, it's on a calendar year as well.
Do we have to pay that fee ever for projects that the district is doing, or is that just for the general public?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Do we have to pay fish and game fees if we're doing some project as well, or is that just for the general public?
Just for the general public.
Thank you.
Item number 16, late received written communications. Agenda says none. Is that still correct?
I didn't receive any.
Okay, great. Number 17, future agenda items. Is there anything that we haven't already covered anymore?
Well, I think it's sometime after the first of the year we're going to need to look at the water decision that our voters made for us and see what needs to be done to improve that language. I understood that we need to add something to it if we could.
Okay, so we'll add, why don't we add that in January.
Well, that's what they said after the first year.
Policies and procedures.
Okay. Ms. Lucy, or Director Lucy, would like to add policies and procedures.
But for that particular initiative, there should be language in our policies and procedures about that.
Okay.
You understand?
Sure.
For which?
They're talking about the vote that went down on the sale of water.
On the sale of water, if we put something in our policies and procedures speaking to that, that might, our in-house committees do not. But we do have to do our
committee assignments. And each, I believe in our packet was a blank one. Mm-hmm. Could each of you fill those out with your requests and get those to Manager Gieselin before the next meeting, time for me to figure out what to do with them? Any other requests for the next agenda meeting?
We are going to add a closed session item also.
In the first meeting?
And we'll need the RFP issue.
In the RFP issue.
I thought that was already continued over. And Chase, Martin will be done with his jury trial, hopefully, and ready to go on that. Moving on to item number 18, public comment. Mr. Edwards reserved 2 minutes, I think, on that.
Thank you, Mr. President, Board. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I did want to speak to 11C, which was the presentation by your general manager regarding the Northern Cities Management lawsuit court ruling. And the first comment I had is until just a few minutes ago, this was all that there was on your website about this item. It's basically a one-page, one-liner of the item. There's no explanation, no analysis, and I can't imagine how your board or anyone from the public can really analyze this properly. The two-page write-up that was presented as the item was being presented to your board is it's a translation of what happened, and it's rough at best. This is a complex matter, and I think that your board needs to spend some time on this. I was under the impression that Mr. Martin was going to do an analysis of this. Instead, you have Tom Gieselin talking to Henry Weinstock, and if you remember, Henry Weinstock also represents Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. So, you know, the stipulation, well, first of all, a couple facts. This all started in 1997 when the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District initiated the litigation. So it happened a little earlier than 2002. And there was no discussion about what you are. You're an appropriator, not an overlying. And there's some key considerations in this. I think one of the questions that your board needs to ask itself is continued participation in this whole Northern Cities Management Area group, is it necessary? Does it provide an advantage to your district? That question hasn't been answered. The cost, that was brought up. Legal consulting, mitigation, monitoring, where is it all going? And so I think you need to talk about agenda items, have an agenda item on this, where there can be an analysis by council, perhaps somebody that has.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Edwards?
Has an understanding, and I'd get it on your agenda because I think it's extremely important. You have a window to look at now, and I encourage you to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment?
Well, I'm a little, your format is very unusual, but I could answer your question on cost if you would like. Basically, at the end of trial, there was a fight over costs, and the judge awarded the appropriators $100,000 in costs out of approximately $15 million of expenditure, based on the fact that the landowners didn't prove quiet title, which the appellate court just reversed. Henry Weinstock's share is about $6,000 for the Northern Cities. So since there's a reverse of the quiet title, that number will be reevaluated to see whether it should be bigger or smaller. And I also want to talk about two other things. One, I pretty much agree with Mr. Gleason on most things. You guys are light years ahead of Napomo. But, you know, he's kind of giving you the settlement as king presentation. And one of the important things to note is in that agreement, it has a total yield number of 10,000 acre feet, of which your allocation of 900 comes out of. But I think your own technical committee acknowledges that the real yield is more like 5,000 or 5,500. So when there's an actual shortage, that legal fact has to collide with your settlement and some adjustments have to be made. And I just think, you know, the board should be aware of that eventuality in the event of a shortage so that they can plan properly. And then the last thing is, where it's true there's one part of the judgment that says the appellants have zero water, well, it doesn't say zero, but no water rights in the Northern Cities area, the appellate court said that it was going to reverse the quiet title and that the court shall declare their overlying rights to native groundwater to be prior to the rights of all appropriators, right, lest the